Well, good morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. You know, we've been at this for almost 14 years. And though I don't have a recording of it, the first night the God School began, I opened saying, "Look, folks, I'm not here to tell you how to have a better life in this world, but that you may have life, eternal life in the world to come." Last week, as I was running through several scriptures, some came to my mind and they didn't come perfectly to my mind. And I attempted to quote a verse out of the fifth chapter of Matthew, wherein I said, Jesus speaking, this is the Sermon on the Mount, where he just disrupted everything because he said things like, "You've heard it said, but now I say," ceding all authority in himself. And though it sounded as though he were some kind of madman, that is, ceding all authority in himself, if he were just a man, he was vindicated by the resurrection on the third day. And that resurrection is the basis and foundation of all Christian faith and hope. But back to what I was trying to quote, and I didn't do it fully. Jesus said in the 20th verse of Matthew 5, he said, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter in to the kingdom of heaven." And these, by outward appearance, were righteous, head and shoulders above everybody else. They did everything by the law. Paul speaks to this, and I'm just going to read in the third chapter of the book of Philippians. Well, I thought you were teaching on Ephesians. We are. We'll get there. Hang in there with me. Paul speaks in this way, beginning in the fourth verse of the third chapter. He says, "Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he has, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law." I think Paul goes a little bit beyond, but let's hear what he has to say. "Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things? That is, righteousness was in within the law, which is in the law. But what things were gained to me? Those things I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered loss of all things. You know, Paul wasn't driving Cadillacs. He wasn't living in mansions. He didn't have a big bank account. He wasn't riding in Lear jets. For whom I suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. There in the scriptures, different manifestations of the righteousness of God. The law was one. It was a standard that, in fact, in Leviticus 18:5, it says that if a man will do these things, he shall live forever. But none of us could, save one, back to Matthew 5 for a moment. Give me a moment. I wasn't planning on going there, but now the thought's on my mind. Let's go there. Jesus, in that same Sermon on the Mount, said in the 17th verse, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm come not to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Jesus is the only man, and he was more than man. He was God also. He fulfilled the law. And now there is, in the New Testament, another kind of righteousness spoken of, that found in Romans 1:17 and in Galatians 3:11, in Hebrews 10:38, wherein it is declared poor translation of the King James. The word is a decay word. It is that root word found every time we encounter the word righteous, righteousness, just, justification, justifying. It is the root decay. And these verses I just quoted say, the righteous by faith shall live. Hang in here with me, folks. We're going somewhere. Back to the fourth chapter of Ephesians. We ended last time around the 14th verse of the fourth chapter, wherein it says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him, into him in all things, which is the head, Christ. An alternative translation to this 15th verse is, but being sincere. And the word sincere means see through. Paul goes on and he's talking about different things in the following verses. But he says in the 21st verse, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth that is in Jesus. Now, he said in the 13th verse of the first chapter, in whom ye, that speaking of Jesus, trusted. Faith is the original. After that, ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He goes on to say, which is the earnest Arabone, part payment. We've talked on that. Let's move on. That ye put off the former habits, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceiving lusts, King James says, simple word, desires, folks. We all have these natural desires. You know, they maybe not reach to the desire to live in mansions or fly in Lear jets or drive Cadillacs or some of those things. I only use those examples because so much of what is being preached today is that uh, what's the word I want to use? Prosperity gospel, prosperity doctrine. We just spoke about that, Paul speaking about it, that he counts all things lost for Christ. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Back to that 22nd verse, it says, Colossians 3:8-9, but now ye also put off all these, anger and wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not one to another, seeing that ye put off the old man with his deeds. This 24th verse, 23rd verse, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Often lately, I have referred to that passage in 2 Corinthians, which says, we're speaking about what Christianity really is. It says, uh, 16th verse of 2 Corinthians 4, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Day by day, folks. Day by day, we are being renewed. Paul goes on to say in that opening of that fifth chapter, for we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle, if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house made not with hands, eternal in the heavens. He's talking about this tabernacle of the flesh, and it is going to be dissolved. But he's also talking about the new man. How do we reconcile that? Christianity, unfortunately, has for almost 2,000 years been what I perceive to be nothing more than an extension of Judaism. That is, okay, we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, but now that we've come to that knowledge, we are to walk worthy, that is, in the flesh. And the church has been attempting to cause you to change the habits of your flesh, that you might become righteous according to the law. I'm telling you, flesh is flesh. Jesus said it in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John. Flesh is flesh. But God speaks of the new man, and therefore what Christianity really is, or its effect really is that we become a dual creation. The old man, with all its habits, all its shortfallings, all my habits, all my shortfallings, and the new man, Colossians 3:10 says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him, that is God, that created him. That's us. Therefore, Paul says in Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him, that is Christ, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Get a pencil, write these things down. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Galatians 6:15 verse says, for in Christ neither circumcision, that is outward appearance of the law, availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. It didn't have anything to do with the law. What did we say last week? But now a righteousness of God is manifest without the law. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And Colossians, back to Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge of him that created him. The righteous by faith shall live. A little more evidence. First John, that is the first epistle of John. 3, beginning in the first verse, it says, beloved, that you and me, folks, beloved of God. That's why God gave his word, preserved his word, that we might speak his word, that the word might become engrafted in us. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. Who were the least knowledgeable of Jesus in his day? It was the ones who were responsible for his death, the religious people, the scribes and the Pharisees. He says, beloved, now are we the sons of God? And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope, and in my study, I went back to the grammar, this hope that we shall be like him, that we are the sons of God, because God in Christ has adopted us into his family. This word hope is in the accusative. It is not generated by us. It is done unto us. It's an outside agency. It's God. It's his spirit that gives us this hope. What's that opening verse of the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substantiation of those things we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. And not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, Paul said, but the righteousness which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, even the righteousness of God by faith, a new creation, a new man. Jesus said, you don't put new wine into old wineskins because they'll burst. But he is and has given us a measure of faith. He has given us his spirit. We do hope in his promises. It says we've been given the Holy Spirit of promise. I'm not there yet, folks. Neither are you. And I don't care how often or who says it. There is no person walking in shoe leather that has achieved that which we do hope for and do faith. And now, this new nature, this new creation, is renewed day by day. Oh, what a wonderful way to start the day. It says, in the 118th Psalm, 24th verse, this is a day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We are renewed, wherein we hold dear the promises of God and hope in them. And therein is the strength that God has promised for the day, where he says in Deuteronomy 33, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. Oh, that we will continue to cling to his word day by day. This is the word of God. Wherein we do hope and have confidence because we have learned that God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, they do as they have said. They are faithful. And we do trust in their word. And that's the God School for today.